Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Almost 10 after 9 as you're locked to 590 The Fan and the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. I can tell you that our friends at Gateway Buick GMC just donated a van to the folks at St. Jude.
Really?
Yeah, pretty cool stuff. I saw the story on it yesterday. Don Davis and his crew, Kelly and all the folks out there do a super job. Kudos to them for donating that van. You can call us on the appliance discounter phone lines, 855-282-8255. You can also text that way. We have given away the text of the day, but we have not given away the email of the day. That'll come at the end of the program, and it's a big one. It's why you guys get up early and start thinking about what you're going to email. Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech must win to force a tiebreaker. Otherwise, Stephen Wildwood wins the month of June. And that is that an upset a little bit?
Yeah, I think so.
I do, too. I think it's a little bit of an upset.
It's an upset that Plops didn't win for the fifth straight month.
Well, Plops is dominant. He's very dominant, and he represents the G8 summit very well.
And he hasn't sent emails in a lot this month.
With all the prizes he's won,
yeah,
he probably could use a giant truck, which brings me to the fact that when I'm on the road with the Cardinals, I'm on the move with Four Seasons Penske Truck Rental. Penske Moving Trucks, just look for the big gold truck.
I love the way you did that right there.
Weave it.
Tim will be back on Wednesday. His
thank you.
Fourth of his 2-week vacations will be over again, and then he'll be back for probably a month and then another couple of weeks.
Well, we're a rudderless ship without him.
And we're getting close to the birth of Flozell. So that could mean a couple months off.
And his match is coming up soon, too.
Yes, his match July 14th. He's got the Free Dotem Open on the 7th. He's got a lot going on. There's no doubt about it. He's a very busy young man.
And we're working the Iggy Plowmonster. Are working on a special guest for next Friday's live remote out of Tapawingo.
Oh, really?
I'll just tease you with that. We're working on it.
And
won't be Ken Bone. He was there last time.
Yes, Kenny Bone was a big part of the celebration last time.
I'm trying to make this a tradition. Every somebody we do, somebody big comes out.
And we'll all know this person.
I think so.
Can I ask a question?
Sure. I'm not going to give you the name, but
are they in media?
It's an adult actress.
No, not really media.
Is it an adult actress?
No.
Unfortunately not.
It'd be, it's an intriguing guest.
Is it either Willie Tyler or Lester?
No. I did get a Facebook message from Willie the other day talking about another cruise that him and Lester are going on. So. That's a guest that Jay asks like every week.
Can we get Willie Tyler
and Lester on? I said they're on a cruise ship.
There are young people listening to the program going, who the hell is Willie Tyler and Lester?
You know, if there are young people listening and perhaps they want to be professional athletes, perhaps a member of the St. Louis Cardinals and get a huge contract.
What do you do?
You know what you do? You go to 314 Sports for all your baseball and softball needs. 314 Sports is a state-of-the-art training center, a baseball tournament company, and the home of the St. Louis Redbirds Baseball Club. 314 Training Academy is also one-stop shopping for summer camps, and at just $99 for their 4-day camps. And my kid goes to these baseball camps and loves them. It's the best deal in town. Plus, you can add on afternoons and Fridays. Boys and girls age 5 to 14 get access to the entire training facility, and the camps are run by their team of certified instructors. Camps start June 5th and fill up quickly, so register now. Groups of 5 will be offered great discounts, or mention you heard it from Doug Vaughn right here on this program.
Dougie.
And you will also get a special discount and probably some extra harassment because you do listen to this show. 314 Training Academy features the state-of-the-art Hytrax baseball simulator. 314-963-1110. 963-1110, or visit 314sports.com.
Some of the good folks that know Iggy know that he has talked about writing a book over the years on his experiences in his life and also in sports radio. We talked a little bit about it in the opening hour, and Iggy gave a tease to one of the names of the chapters, and that chapter would be named The Man, The Woman, and the moron. Iggs, give us a little taste of what that chapter might entail when it comes
out. And someone, by the way, said if you'd stop watching those crappy shows you watch and put pen to paper or finger to computer,
right,
you'd have this book done by now.
Well, yeah. I mean, if I just went home every day after work and just started typing, yeah, it would be done. But
well, why don't you do that?
I like playing golf. I like porn.
Okay.
Things
like
to do.
Sitting on your terrace.
Terrace with the garden.
Yes,
and
nice glass of wine. Just finished up season 5 of Orange is the New Black. Now I'm on season 5 of Wentworth, which is an Australian
yes,
of Orange is the New Black, a little more nudity.
Yep.
There's things I do. I get bored easily if I just sit there and type and type and type.
One
and type.
To ten. I know you were a little disappointed on the early portion of Orange is the New Black. 1 to 10, fifth season.
1 to 10?
Yep.
4?
Ouch.
Yeah, I won't tell anything
Ouch.
Else. I wasn't impressed with this season.
Wow.
Plowsy said, wait till the last 3. It really picks up, and there's a lot of storylines. There really weren't any storylines going into next year.
Wow, scathing review.
The one thing that I did, Plowsy, and it's not giving any of the storyline away, but I thought it was very unrealistic when the two chicks were snorting a lot of coffee and he went into the bathroom and the one just dropped ass like, and
what
she,
are we,
and then she,
talking about
but then she,
I thought we were doing the,
yeah, I will
the man, the woman and the moron.
Yeah, I will. But
don't forget, we got Benny Lindbergh.
The most unrealistic was she dropped ass for like 5 minutes and then she just tore off 2 little sheets from the toilet. You need more than that, honey. You just dropped ass for 5 minutes, and it was a squirter, runner,
wow,
volcano.
Wow.
And you tore off two little sheets from the toilet paper.
Wow.
No way that was wiping.
All right, the man, the woman, the moron.
Yeah, we kind of jumped because there'll be chapters, obviously, before that.
Sure.
The one that is really going to be my favorite to work on, the title is Strip Clubs and Clip-On Ties. That's the Hotlanta days. But yeah, the man, the woman, the moron, it really speaks for itself. I mean, Kat caught part of it until they were ceremoniously kicked out because
I do believe in charity.
We did have Bubba the Love Sponge.
Giving back to the community. And one of the things that this station will do that's different than any other radio stations, I think, in St. Louis is we're going to donate time on our times that we don't use the station or where it's not a profitable thing for us to do or whatever. And it's going to be Sunday mornings. It's going to be called Donating Back to the Community Charity. Now, how that will happen, we haven't yet worked out.
We're not sure.
I do believe in it.
Just like when he said, I'm really excited about the woman. I don't know what shows we have, but I'm excited about it. But this one speaks for itself. I mean, Jay was part of it on The Man with Sarah. And,
no, I was on The Woman.
Oh, were you?
When? Yeah.
What you were the executive producer of The Woman.
He wasn't on He wasn't on The Woman when I was doing it.
Yes, I was. They had the two gals in the morning, the one gal you didn't like, and then it was
Dawn
Meadows, Dix, and DMD, and then it was me and Sarah B. and Sarah Estepari, and then they added Matushka, and then I don't even know what.
Oh, that's right. You did start, because then it was Sonya Shin after that.
Big benchmark in my career.
But then they took you to the man.
Then I went back to The Man, and then I got the hell out.
I forgot you started.
So you weren't fired, you just left?
I said, thanks, I'm going to
When the checks started, like, playing handball with the checks, it was time to go. But there were so many things that people don't know about. I mean, the things we've talked about, checks bouncing, and, you know, the first day we had a meeting in our new studios, his message was, we're going under. But the one thing that I will get into the book that you heard him say, we're all about charity.
Yep.
You're going to hear a story about just how much he cared about charity.
All right. Well, we'll do that after we chat with Mr. Ben Lindbergh. Ben joins us from theringer.com, where he's a baseball writer and a podcaster. And he wrote an article that has been something that's been touched on a lot here by our man, Doug Vaughn. Unfortunately, Doug's not here. The title of the piece, As Home Run Rates Rise, MLB Offers Evidence That the Ball Isn't Juiced.
Yeah, he didn't just have an opinion. They actually research this, which is a foreign concept to this show.
Well, exactly. Let's welcome Ben Lindbergh to the program. Hello, Ben.
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
We have a gentleman on the show. Unfortunately, he's vacationing in the Hamptons for the 4th of July that's coming up, that firmly believes that the baseballs are wrapped tighter, that there's more spring in the baseballs, and that the balls go further than they did, and you have done the research.
Yeah, he has a lot of company in that belief, not just among researchers, but also players and coaches and managers. You're hearing them say things to that effect more and more often, it seems. But, yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of speculation about what role, if any, the ball has played in not only the record home run rate, but the record rise in home run rate. This is not only the most home runs that have ever been hit, but the fastest we've ever seen that home run rate increase. And so we wanted to try to test some baseballs and bring some evidence to the discussion. And my co-author in one of these articles, Mitchell Lichtman, purchased some game-used balls and sent them to a sports science lab where they were tested very precisely. And according to those results, it does seem as if the ball has changed in a few ways that would increase offense. And so we saw this big spike in home runs in 2015. And if we compare baseballs from before then to baseballs from after then, you see that the newer ones are a little smaller. They have lower seams, and they have a higher coefficient of restitution, or core, which is basically the bounciness of the ball. And when you add all of that up, it does indicate that the ball should be leaving the bat faster and should be flying farther once it's hit, and that does seem consistent with what we're seeing.
Some of the interesting things I found from your article, one, and you mentioned it, the seams are smaller, which would make it tougher on pitchers anyway who use the seams to create movement, right, and grip as well.
Right, yeah, and you know, we haven't quantified exactly what that effect would be, but you are hearing people complain about that and refer to it. Justin Verlander recently said that he thinks the seams are a lot lower. So did Mets manager Terry Collins and Yankees longtime pitching coach Larry Rothschild. So you never know whether when a pitcher says that, maybe they're the most likely to be biased, right? Because if Justin Verlander's giving up lots of home runs, it would be nice to think that it wasn't him, it was the baseball. But on the other hand, these guys are the ones who are throwing the baseball the most of anyone, and they should be the experts. So it's hard to know exactly what to make of that. But yes, research that I've done and research that Rob Arthur at 538 has done, they've both seemed to indicate that those seams are a lot lower, and that even if you hit the ball the same speed and the same angle as you would have a few years ago, it's just traveling farther. It's carrying significantly farther.
That sweet spot is a little bit sweeter, but part of the research you guys did, it seems like it was an exhaustive project, but it basically said that some of the power hitters that we've seen in the past are still power hitters, but it's the other guys that maybe you don't expect to see huge home run numbers from, we're seeing more, and that has to do with the bounciness of the ball or the sweet spot, right?
Yeah, exactly, because, you know, we're seeing more home runs hit than ever, but we're not seeing any individual hitter challenge any records. No one is on pace for 60 or 70 homers. It's just that everyone seems to hit home runs now. It's guys on the lower end have been brought up, and, you know, you have your shortstops hitting 20, 30 home runs, and guys who didn't do that in the past. And I think that is consistent with the idea that there's something different about the baseball, because there is this sweet spot, not just on the bat, but in terms of fly ball distance, where when you hit the ball a certain distance, it becomes more likely to turn into a home run, obviously, because the outfield fences are only so deep. And so if you were an elite slugger who was already at that sweet spot and was clearing the fence by a lot, well, maybe now you're Aaron Judge who's hitting the ball 495. Well, that still would have been, I don't know, 460, 470 before. That's still way over the fence. Whereas if you're someone who had warning track power in the past, now you're reaching that fence much more consistently. And so that is consistent, I think, with what we've seen, which is this democratization of home runs, or a much more egalitarian distribution of home runs across the league.
Ben, I know that Commissioner Manfred has probably done more things in the last 2 years than Selig did in his entire career as far as trying to change the game. Why wouldn't they just come out and say, we've changed the ball, this is what we're doing with the ball? Why wouldn't they just come out and say that?
Well, I think it's possible that they haven't, and I know that the timing seems somewhat suspicious and overly convenient, because in 2014, scoring was at its lowest level since the mid-70s. Everyone was wringing their hands and saying, is baseball going to do something? And then suddenly home runs rebounded and skyrocketed, and so it's only natural maybe to draw a connection there. But I don't think there necessarily needs to be an element of intention here, or a conspiracy, or a plot from the top. I think that that these changes in the ball are so small. If you look at just the size and the seam height, they're such small variations, and they can produce very significant effects on the field. But, you know, it's not even just one aspect of the ball that's changed a lot. It's a few different aspects that have changed just enough to produce this sort of effect. So I think it's very possible that this could have just been a fluctuation, some small change in the manufacturing process and the personnel at the Rawlings plant down in Costa Rica where these balls are hand-stitched. It's hard to say exactly, but I think it's very possible that the ball could have changed without MLB actually deciding to change it. And, you know, if they have decided to change the ball at this point or in the past or in the future, I think the downside probably is that if they come out and say we're changing the ball and people decide they don't like this new version of baseball and maybe they liked it better before all the home runs were hit, then you kind of have a scapegoat, right? You have Rob Manfred to blame. You have the league to blame. And it seems almost as if they're tampering with this game that's so sacred to so many people and putting their thumb on the scale in a way.
We've seen in the past that there have been just changes in the manufacturing process that have caused changes in baseball. You would think, though, in this day and age where everything is so high-tech and they have, you know, all these ways to quantify every move that's made, it almost seems like this couldn't happen by accident. I'm talking about the changes in the ball. What's your take on it? Do you think that this was something done with the knowledge of Major League Baseball, or it is just a an aberration in terms of the manufacturing?
Yeah, I don't have any insider info on anything. There's no deep throat who's feeding me info about some plot at Major League Baseball. So I tend to lean against the idea that there was an intentional change to the ball here. But, you know, one thing you could point out is that MLB's standards for Major League Baseballs are very loose. You know, you can have a very wide range of balls that are all regulation. And so even MLB's own baseball testing facility acknowledged in a previous report that two baseballs that both met the legal limits were within the allowable range. One could travel 49 feet farther than the other one just because it was at the upper end of those limits instead of those the lower end of those limits. So that's an enormous difference. And I don't know why the range is so wide, whether they just didn't realize the impact that a small change in that bounciness could produce in terms of how far the ball is hit, or whether they wanted to allow some room for manufacturing variation, or whether they did want to leave themselves the opportunity at least to tinker with the ball from time to time without changing the specifications. I don't know, but it does allow them a lot of leeway there to play with things.
Ben Lindbergh is with us. You can check out his stuff at theringer.com, where he's a writer for baseball and a podcaster. Just curious, Ben, we talk a lot, obviously, about the Cardinals and the rough year that it's been so far, but yet still seemingly in the mix potentially to win a very weak Central. What is your take on the Central and on the Cardinals?
Yeah, I mean, it's surprising how it's played out. I think certainly at the top of the division, the Brewers have been a very fun story, and I think they've done a lot of things really well, but we wouldn't be talking nearly as much about them if the Cubs had played up to their potential and what everyone had expected for them, and that just hasn't happened so far, and they've kind of broken down across the board. And I still tend to think that they have the talent to take this thing, and it's a long season. We're just now getting to the halfway point, and I think that they will pull away at some point. I wouldn't be shocked if the Cardinals ended up at least in the wild card running later in the year, and I would think they have a strong chance to finish behind the Cubs, but I think ultimately the top of the division is going to look like everyone thought it would in the spring. There just won't be as many games between first and second as we expected.
Well, we thank you so much for your time this morning talking about the baseballs. Wish Doug would have been here because he's really a good-looking man, too. I should mention that. but we certainly thank you, Ben, and continued success at theringer.com.
Thanks. My pleasure.
You got it.
Thank you. Now, that was
49 feet.
Yeah.
When he talked about the range of the baseballs, that's a large number.
I read that, and all I could think about was, you know, the information there was explosive. And speaking of explosives,
fireworks
are already
flying
off the shelves at
Captain Jimmy.
4 semi-trailers, a product just arrived, making selection, prices, and finding that unique firework that fits any budget easier than ever. This year marks Captain Jim's 70th anniversary as the St. Louis area's go-to family-owned store. We are celebrating by offering huge deals, new product, and 70 items hand-selected and drastically discounted by Captain Jim himself. Captain Jim's is also the only stand in the area that offers a no-dud guarantee. If something doesn't fire properly, just bring it back, and they'll replace it, no questions asked. And then how about this? Captain Jim's is also North St. Louis's exclusive dealer of time-banded fireworks from the show Deadliest Catch. I love that show.
I do, too.
And I always say, support the sponsors. So go to Captain Jim's for all your 4th of July fireworks needs.
Outstanding, that's for sure. And don't forget that we do have the TMA Live coming July the 13th, and that, of course, is presented by our friends at Bud Select, which is the official beer of TMA and TMA Live.
So Bridgeton this time.
Bridgeton,
another
exactly.
Another home game for me, just 5 minutes away.
It's a good Bridgeton's a fun one. I look forward to, I may even come out for that one, but I got to be careful because the next day is the big match with Lil Poker.
Yeah, you may have to rest up.
Yeah, so I got to get ready for that. All right, we had teased it. It is now time to talk a little bit more about the chapter in Iggy's book that will be called The Man, the Woman, and the Moron. Iggy, we're talking about charity.
Well, I'm saving it for the book. I'm not going to give that one away.
You're not going to give anything away that?
No, I teased it and said that that he did something
the charitable stuff.
Yeah, I'll show you how much he really cared about charity with something I had in mind. But it was a disaster from the start.
The one thing I will say about all of the disaster that it was is that he did pull the plug. I have seen instances where somebody gets into this business and thinks they've figured it out and puts an exorbitant amount of money in and makes poor decisions with their spending on dollars that seemingly make no sense. And then all of a sudden everybody gets a phone call and say, hey, guess what? The station's shut down. And despite the disaster that both were, he was smart enough to pull the plug before it bankrupted.
Well, I will say that his wife pulled the plug.
I would not disagree with that.
Or else he would probably still be spending money.
It just didn't work. And it's a tough business. Let me tell you something. There's a story in the Post today about one of the best, if not the best, hockey analysts in the country that is being asked to take a pay cut. Now, I want to let people know that we've seen what has happened in radio. Don't you dare think that's not going to be a trend up the totem pole towards television. The amount of money, you look at what ESPN has tried to do the last couple of months with their cost cutting. The fact that they didn't even take a sniff at the NBA rights. I mean, they said, don't even talk to us. We're not doing that. The monies that have been spent for these rights fees are just outrageous. And everybody has known it for a long time. And it's going to start changing. It is.
Yeah, I think there's no question about it. And really, the cost of technology, everything.
And the outlets. I mean, you know, there are so many different outlets. I mean, on Thursday and Friday morning, you can get on Twitter and watch a group play a PGA Tour event. I mean, I used to have to call a television station on Thursday or Friday afternoon and have some intern go look at a teleticker to see what the scores were. I mean, and that was 30 years ago. It's all just the instant access to information. The fact that I can watch any baseball game I want at any time for free on the internet is hard to even count. That for people that used to listen at night to the Cardinals on KMOX and wait for the game of the week on NBC on Saturday. I mean, it's night and day. And I know for the younger generation, they don't get it because they've grown up with this. I mean, my kids don't understand. You know, we joke about five channels or joke about turning the channel. I mean, that's not that long ago, folks.
Now, I'm sure the cat will agree with me that I hope they get something done because Panger is the best in the business.
I mean, I know that.
I'm sure they will.
I know they are. They are talking, and as I understand it, the ball's in Panger's court. But I know, speaking for Fox, we all value him.
Sure,
we all appreciate the work that he does.
But Fox also has to stay in business.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it'll work out.
Yeah. I mean, it'll work out. I'm telling you, we've all seen it in radio. We have seen the days of people making a couple hundred grand or this and that. I mean, that's going by the wayside, and it's gonna go up into the television ranks. There was a story yesterday about the networks, because they're getting killed, that their demographics are not younger. And the reason is because the younger people are watching online.
That's the way they talk about the cord cutters with the cable systems.
Yeah.
I'm one of them. Yeah, at Fox, though, what they did with their app and a lot of places.
Well, that was big.
Because that changes, you can watch.
That you can watch it, yep.
And I'll say this, you know, cuts may be coming, but then there are certain pieces of the puzzle that you can't do without, like sideline reports.
Well, absolutely. You cannot. I mean, you've got to be able to get that information from a guy on the sideline.
Those 3 30-second hits I do in games, they're invaluable.
And then the post-game interview. I mean there's nothing really
better.
More,
nothing better.
No.
That's what the word you were looking for.
Well,
nothing better.
I was going to say more important. But
well, there was nothing in the paper about, you know, Panger having to take a pay cut because Cat needs more money.
I'm sure that's
well,
it.
Well deserved too.
No, it's unfortunate. I mean, it's an industry that is changing, and it's not an industry that's changing. It's an interesting in an industry that's changed. The problem is the dollars and cents haven't changed. But when you see somebody like ESPN, who used to be able to look down on everybody else, just like we talked about, Iggy, Michael Collins, they hired him to be a golf reporter. I can't go on your show. They're going to charge me $50 if I go on your show. They can't do that now. I mean, it's all changed. When ESPN says to the NBA, "Hey, we're not even going to bid on the NBA." I mean, that tells you something.
And getting back to Panger, honestly, I know everyone at Fox values him.
Sure.
And hopefully this has a happy resolution for everyone because he's the best.
But everybody's got to understand that it is changing. I mean, people in the industry have to understand it's changing. And whether we like it or not, the majority of people tune in to watch the game. They don't tune in to watch the people broadcasting the game.
I hate to do this, but
yeah,
3 rings for that.
I mean, it's just, you know, and the folks that think, the people in the industry that think somebody's watching a Cleveland Indian game because they're broadcasting have lost their friggin' mind. I mean, it's finally getting to the point where maybe people are understanding that, and I'm not saying you can put any Tom, Dick, or Harry on there. You got to have people that are proficient at what they do, but nobody walks into Norman and goes, "Yeah, I didn't watch the game last night because Danny Mack was on." Or, "I watched the game because Danny Mack was on."
No, there's people that will say that.
Well, yeah.
No, they
but
don't.
But it doesn't. Yeah. It's all changed.
Yeah, like there's a guy who used to call this show that said, I will never watch another hockey game or spend money on the Blues because of this lockout.
Right.
Well, we know that's a lie, but
I mean, you'd like to think that in theory, and I understand that the emotion brings you that way. But the fact of the matter is you love it. And you need to look no further than Blues fans for what they have endured and continue to endure and still hold out hope that this is going to be an organization that can win the Stanley Cup, and they may do it.
And there's other options. I mean, you know, that's why you have to, you know, there'll be certain networks that will have guys that have personalities.
Sure.
You know, we're going to watch because this guy is entertaining because you have other options. Same with radio. I mean, if you don't like the stuff we do,
right? There's a button.
Other options, yeah. And if you don't like what they're doing, there's other.
But
options.
But you will admit now, there is a plethora more options than when sports radio started in 1982.
Oh my God! When 1380 KSP started, I think there were only six sports stations in the country.
Yeah,
WFAN started it, and I think there was one in Milwaukee or Detroit, maybe
WEEI.
Yeah, but there were only like six when we started in 92.
Yep.
Now there's, what, 600?
Right.
But sports radio is different, and you listen to the show for the people.
Yes.
But the flip side of that is also whatever the wheel that the program director puts into place. They listen for that. That's what we experienced in some past administrations.
Past deals, yes.
They felt that it was the wheel.
The wheel. That's that, the key. And the teasing and the this and the that. I mean, it's, you know, it's all changed.
What was it, Plazzi? The dick, the dork, and the something or other?
Plazzi, you've been very quiet today.
Deer, yeah.
Can I speak to you before we get closer to the email of the day? Are you doing all right today? I know the move has been big for you this week.
I'm running on fumes, man. I had to work last night at the restaurant, too. So I've had like, you know, 6.5 in the last 2 days. I'm rough.
Was it jumping last night?
Yeah, it was. I mean,
it always jumps.
No more or less than what it typically is. And I figured with the beautiful weather outside, you know, it's a kind of a perfect storm out there in Kirkwood, old money. They got plenty of time and money on their hands. Take it easy.
When you go through turmoil like getting no sleep, that's when you discover your character.
Yeah. That's when the chips are down is when you figure out where you're really
I'm still in a good mood. I just got like a headache because I'm sleep deprived. I'm just really not
What do you got planned for the weekend?
I'm doing nothing. I took this weekend off of the restaurant because I knew I'm going to feel at this level.
So you're just going to chill like a villain.
Oh, I got, you know, I got a little meet and greet at Little Cuckies around 8:30, 9 p.m. tonight.
Meet and greet.
You know what it is, Jay.
Yes, I do.
And are we off Monday?
Yeah, we're off Monday.
Are we? Okay.
I didn't get an email either, but.
I know we're off Tuesday.
I know Tim's off Monday.
Well, everybody's off Monday then and Tuesday.
See, I promise people I am alive and I'm fine.
Best of Monday, Sneaky V? Yes, best of. Boy, that ought to be something.
Is there any best of? I guess it's a sliding scale.
Now, is Swope still doing a show? Okay. I just never got, you know, I don't get the memos.
I think Matt Hubbles at Hanks was his most recent sode, I do believe.
Because I always like to promote Buck Swope.
Did he do that sode? I thought he said he's going to get a sode.
For Matt Hubbles at Hanks.
Yeah.
Who's playing today against, or is caddying today.
No, he's playing.
He's playing.
Kevin Miller's caddying against Todd Callahan. Who I think Dick Sticks is his caddy, something like that.
Something Terry Dicks, I think.
He's caddying for him at 3:30, I believe. Now I'm going to come out there and play.
Work on your move.
Well, I want to hit this new driver that PGO Pro Dan gave me, the M2 by TaylorMade. So I'm going to work on that a little bit, hit some balls, and maybe try to get...
Plug for PGA Pro Dan and the driver.
Try to get a quick 18. And, well, there was a day that we got everything free from TaylorMade.
Yes, there was.
And FootJoy and Titleist and...
A lot of that's run out.
Yeah, that's kind of gone by the wayside. But, yeah, so I'm going to come out there and play a little bit, try and beat the rain. And if I'm out there still when that match is going on, I will get a cart and I'll go out and follow a little bit.
Very nice. And, of course, we are offering the day of the McKernan-Randolph Big Al JW match, John Wright.
Yeah, JW plus nine at the U.S.
Not a good day for him yesterday at the U.S. Senior Open in Massachusetts. We will $20 will get you a six pack and a cart to watch the big match.
Really?
Yes.
That's nice. Marketing.
And people are going to pay, trust me.
I think I'm going to have to limit it because I don't want all the carts to run out of carts, but I think we'll probably have at least 10 people that will be out watching and witnessing what is Big Al and Big Al at Norman.
It'll be like an LPGA event out of Forest Hills. Everybody thinks they're so important, they all got carts.
Kat, you have got the baseball Cardinals as they try and continue their winning ways against a good team in the Washington Nationals.
I would really like to see the Cardinals put some together, and obviously the Nats are good, but put some together before the All-Star break and give you something to hope for that better times are ahead in the second half. If they, what are they, four games under 500?
They're four under.
They can make a move and get.
If they could get 500 by the All-Star break.
Wouldn't you feel better about things?
Well, yeah. I mean, and you know, this. I understand this theory, and I've done the show a couple times the last couple of weeks because Tim's taking his 2 month week off, 2 weeks off. Everybody keeps saying, well, you know, you just got to wait, and the Cubs are going to. They haven't yet.
They haven't. I don't believe that it's going to be Milwaukee in the end.
I mean, it's not an automatic. You have to play these games.
I say the Cubs only for the fact that they're struggling now. I'm with Kat. I mean, Milwaukee can mash, but their pitching staff will not hold up. You don't expect Peralta and Chase Anderson to keep doing what they're doing. But the Cubs will go out and do something. The Cubs will make moves and get one or two pitchers. They'll do what they need to do.
Agreed.
Whereas the Brewers won't, and the Cardinals at that point, will they know what they're going to do? Hey, we're gonna go out and get a middle of the order guy because we're only 3.5 out, or we're 7.5 out. So who wants Lynn? Who wants Jerko? Who wants Rosenthal? Who wants O? you don't know what's going to happen. But I think if they can go 7-3 on this road trip or this homestand after 10 games, they'll be at 500, and maybe it'll make people feel a little better.
I'm interested to see what they do with the outfield situation. Dexter on a 10-day DL with the heel spurs. And Pham is playing very well. Grichuk has been very good
since
being back. And, you know, they're invested in Piscotty. And I believe he is a good player and will get better in terms of numbers as the season progresses. But that's
four
guys for three spots.
And Martinez, when playing,
who's great,
has come off the bench and done well. And when he starts, he's done well. Of course, he can play first base too. But something's got to be done. And you got to get playing time for these guys.
Interesting to see, you know.
And how Diaz turns, or if the trip down to the farm can get Diaz going.
It's funny because anytime someone sent down, like with Grichuk, well, you won't be seeing him again.
Boom.
Even you know, seasoned reporters.
Right.
You know,
think
and
that's
I was like,
it.
No, I really think they want him to straighten out.
Well, and I think that's Matheny has shown that, and Mozeliak has shown that that's kind of their M.O.
Now, they're hoping that happens with Diaz, but you got a kid who they believe can play shortstop doing it now, and they got, you know, a couple guys in the pipeline shortstop. So, you know, it's up to Diaz to make that correction, so he's still in the mix.
Now, Kat, I said this yesterday, and I don't know if you'll agree or not, because I'm sure the Cardinals didn't say anything, but your gut feeling, I'm guessing they just told Diaz, look, you're a shortstop, but there's some things you need to work on. Go down there, work on it, get your at-bats, work on things. After the All-Star break, you're back up here.
No, I don't think they told him that.
No?
I thought
that was just
I think it was,
it's time to see what, you got to.
Like with Grichuk, John Mozeliak said he had to correct the record when he said sink or swim. He didn't mean timetable. He meant once Grichuk, they felt, had corrected some things, then he'd be back up. And I think it's the same with
well, this is like the third time for Grichuk, though. This is, you know, only a second year and the first time he sent back.
Whereas Diaz was an all-star.
Yeah, and this is the first time since coming up from the minors he's been sent back. So I thought it might be a little different. The Grichuk has gone down three times. Whereas Diaz, I just thought this might be a quick fix. Go down there. Don't worry about it. You're our shortstop. Don't act like this is a huge demotion for you. Go down, work on some things, 10-game homestand. Then we have the All-Star break. Work on it. Then we'll bring you back and see how you
do. Yeah, could be. I just don't think they put a timetable because I think that adds to pressure. You know, one of the things that they say is get them out of the major league atmosphere where there's pressure. You say to someone, hey, get this done in this amount of time.
That adds a lot
more
pressure.
So I think what they say is fix it. And, you know, he had some defensive issues that they've been working with him. Because I thought he got a lot better towards the end of last season once he came back from his injury. And I don't think he was as good defensively this season as he was at the tail end of last season. So he's got some things to work on. I'm going to let Miss Diaz guy. If he can do anything like he was in terms of on-base percentage, because that's what they said about the top of the order with those three guys, including Diaz, they could score some runs. It hadn't worked out that way.
And the funny thing was that he was first in the team in hits, first in doubles, hitting 260-something.
Right.
He wasn't sucking as much as a lot of guys on this team, but yet go down.
Well, it's a little bit of a wake-up call. See how he reacts. I mean, I think the timing was good to do it. I think you're right, Iggy. What they would like to do is have him go down, succeed, and then bring him back right after the All-Star break. That's what they would like to have happen. Now, whether it will.
Well, I'm like everybody. I sat there Friday night, and with the man on third, tie game, bottom of the eighth inning after Rosenthal gave up the run, and Diaz up, I said, just bunt.
Yeah.
For the first time in your life, Matheny, squeeze. Suicide squeeze. Sure enough, high fastball, swing and a miss, slider, swing and a miss, you're out.
Yeah.
Bunt.
And Matheny had been pretty, up front. He said Diaz is just not seeing the ball. I mean, he said that, which he doesn't usually say. Gave you a clue that something could be happening with him. And then the other thing is when Colton Wong comes back, you know.
What is his pace?
I know that Rick Hummel had reported that he's out until after the All-Star break.
Okay.
What I had heard was that's not definite. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I hadn't confirmed that in that he had some sort of setback that delayed him getting cleared to go out on a rehab, which he was supposed to have done Wednesday or Thursday. So we'll see at the ballpark today. My thinking is with Colton, if you're hitting into the All-Star break and
let him
maybe just let it go or bring him back at the big league level in certain situations just to get him back.
Maybe for that final weekend.
But I don't know.
And that may hurt Diaz, too, because Wong comes back. You'll probably move DeYoung to shortstop. And if he continues to play like he is and Wong picks up where he did.
Well, I mean, he's the shortstop now. DeJong is the shortstop. And will that hurt Diaz if DeJong takes the ball and runs with it? Obviously, yes.
Well, the one thing about as frustrating as it has been is they are only four under 500 and they are within striking distance of the lead. I mean, this is not a while they have looked at times like a team that might be 10 or 12 under 500 and done for the year, they're not.
Yeah, and they never let the spiral continue.
It's not gotten out of control. Yeah,
It's not been good, but they haven't hit rock bottom. Hopefully they won't, or maybe we've seen rock bottom for them already. But yeah, I agree. And they did play a much better brand of baseball
over the weekend. Over the last couple of days in Arizona. All right. It is now time for the email of the day. Now, that wasn't too quick for you. I went slow to tell you.
No, I pressed the space bar and it switched Windows.
I know. You need some sleep.
You were holding Jay accountable.
No. He didn't. And he should. That's what I hold Sea Monster accountable. Now, this is a historic moment, as most people know. We're at the end of the month, and each month there's a battle for not just email of the day, but email of the month. And we are presently in a very tight situation. Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech must win today to force a tiebreaker. Otherwise, Wealthy Steve in Wildwood will win June.
Pretty good batch, too. Obviously, Iggy is a staple in
as
most
he should
of these.
Be. Yeah.
Starting it off. Hey, boys. Here's a sneak peek of the table of contents of Iggy's book. As a reminder to all, the book can be found in the fictional section. Chapter 1, My BFF Jason Duffner. Chapter 2, The Time I Banged Marilyn Monroe. Chapter 3, Keto. Chapter 4, I Banged a Tranny and Liked It. Chapter 5, My Garden. Chapter 6, The Time I Landed on the Moon. Chapter 7, I Taught Elvis How to Play Guitar. Chapter 8, Gaga's Fupa. Chapter 9, The Reason Why I Saved 40 Years Worth of Playboys. Chapter 10, My Love Affair with Hammerheads. Forever and Always, Mae Young's Newborn Hand. Oh. I would read that book.
I'm proud of Mae Young there.
That's a good one. Yeah. That's a good one. All right. Welcome back to Chapter Chat. I'm Tina Yathers. We're here.
Yathers.
Okay.
Wait a minute. You can't just read it. You have no clue who Tina Yathers is.
I don't.
Is. Okay.
I'm just.
You shouldn't.
And that's what makes it fun.
Sneaky, you know who Tina Yathers is? Nope.
Yes, he does.
Okay. No, Sneaky, I said.
Oh.
Iggy does. Sneaky. Iggy does. Sneaky
he's
got no
the
clue.
King of the B-listers.
Facts of Life?
No.
She family was, Ties.
Family,
oh, family
Ties.
I knew it was one of those.
And also had a burgeoning singing career.
We're here with Kenny Iggy Strode, author of the radio tell-all, Orange Men Tell No Lies. Iggy, I'm fascinated with the celebrity brushes, Stevie Nicks, Joan Jett, and more recently, Leather Tuscadero from Happy Days. Isn't she a little old? Yeah, she's 67. I met her at a reunion show. We made out backstage, and her dentures slipped into my mouth. Yikes. Rob Lowe contacted us saying he thought you were Bigfoot in the Missouri Ozarks. No, I was there bird watching. Really? He said you had binoculars because you were peeping in on all the lesbian summer campers. He thought you were a Sasquatch until he saw the I Heart Lady Gaga t-shirt. That's all the time we have. Tune in next week when another St. Louisan, Mike Claiborne, will discuss his new cookbook and share his recipes for a 2-pound carrot cake. That is from Bill Pullman's Independence Day.
Wow, Billy brought it on a day he must win.
And I've interviewed Susie Quattro, and back in the day, she was a hot little thing.
And for folks that don't know, Susie Quattro was Leather Tuscadero.
I would love to talk about the Cardinals and how great they are with their 2 wins in a row, but I will leave that to the Charmin Soft media in this town. I need to address something else. The BFIR are getting screwed with no Vaseline, and by BFIR, I mean the best fans in radio. Does McCurkin think he can just take a month off? I'm sure he'll get 12 weeks of paternity leave, too, come August, and who does it? And who going to replace him? Jennings Randolph, the senator? No. The former play-by-play man and broadcaster? No. The pervert who lets broad kick him in the face and works as a as a starter at a golf course in the middle of the ghetto? Oh, okay. Who's reading the email of the day? Oh, a guy who can barely read. And to fill time, let's hear about some Iggy stories. Is there ever a story where Iggy ends up being wrong? I would call you Leatherface, but I have too much respect for leather. And Hayes, go play some more grab ass with LaRusso at some balloon party in the desert. Tired of it, Stephen Wildwood.
Wow.
Still with the same formula.
Wow.
And all of our favorites. I don't know if I'm talking with the cat here. Mourn, a cute haiku to get hyped up for the free Dotem Open. Twice fried on the lid. Jackhammer my virgin loins. Veggie scented face. Think about it. Sup, Jay? Tunnels 12,000.
Tunnels. Oh, M.
I like the start to this email. Hey, kiddos. The wedding discussion on the show today really took me back to the early... to early 1993 and the wedding of Ty Babilonia and Chris Penn.
And by the way, they never got married.
It was quite an exciting event. Quentin Tarantino and the entire cast of Reservoir Dogs was there. Everything was going smoothly until the champagne champagne started flowing and Iggy nearly came to blows with Tim Roth over who was the true Mr. Orange. Mr. Blonde then threatened to cut off Iggy's ear, but nice guy Eddie stepped in to prevent any bloodshed. Quentin calmed Iggy by pulling him aside and naming him Mr. Tan. They had a nice long discussion, and Quentin eventually used Iggy as a model for his Zeg character in Pulp Fiction. Bring out the gimp, Leatherface. That is from the Webster Ween Peeker.
I gotta say, it's a strong bat.
Webster
strong
bat. Ween Peeker, nicely done, my friend.
Let me get this straight. Pumpkinhead is penning a tell-all? How many made-up stories do you think he'd been to drop in that pile of crap? I sat next to Sean Penn at a wedding in Los Angeles. As if. Weren't the chapter about the time you lured Rick Ankiel to your cage with the promise of free golf, only to lock him in your half-closet and force him to watch... You shave your armpits. Jesus Christ, you bacon-skinned, boot-faced lunatic. CJ, six, see you later. That is from Lefty Jacksmere.
Lefty
Very Jacksmere. Heavy Iggy.
He's taking over for Doug today.
Yeah. And we have a couple more. Happy Friday, gents. Since Plowsy absolutely butchered my email yesterday, which is probably accurate, I thought I'd give him a chance to redeem himself. Let's see if he can handle this brain buster. Dogs are neat. I own a dog. I like herbs. I like to inhale herbs. Bigfoot is scary. And that's how you read an email, folks. Just playing, Plowsy. You're the man. Always Peoria strong. That is from Dixie W.
Dixie W.
That's pretty good. We've had a great...
This has been a good one.
Yeah.
We'll do one more.
All right.
Time to wrap up the show.
Yeah.
Dear humans and Iggy... Man, sorry, Iggs. I was at the library and stumbled across a monthly periodical called Muffled, a self-help guide for know-it-alls. Okay. Muffled, a self-help guide for know-it-all, pathological liars, and serial killers. It's the perfect read for a certain beef jerky-skinned AM radio producer that feels the constant need to interject unwanted anecdotes in conversation or peel them and eat their dates that they hired from the back pages of Craigslist. I've already prepaid for a 3-month subscription for the station, as I'm sure Iggy will be caught and arrested by then. That is from Neil Allen, Craig Paquette. And that is what we have for email today. I figure we give Frank his allotted time.
This is tough.
I wrote down 4 because there were a lot of good ones. I put down Mae Young's newborn hand, Bill Pullman, Stephen Wildwood, and the Webster Ween Peeker. They were all worthy of winning. But I'm going to go with the one that made me laugh the hardest. I'm going with Mae Young.
I'm going with Mae Young.
And that's it.
Mae Young, it's shipped. She wins email of the day. I'm probably thinking it's a he.
It.
So Stephen Wildwood clinches.
Stephen Wildwood and Stephen Wildwood and Bill Pullman brought it today. It just came up just short because of Mae Young's newborn hand. Stephen Wildwood is our month of July, a June winner. Congratulations. Frank Cusimano is next with the Lions Choice, our Lions Choice handoff. Lions Choice is just good.
It
is. It's very good.
See Schaefer's new haircut?
Who?
Schaefer's got a mohawk.
Yeah, I saw.
Yeah.
Who? Who?
Brendan Schaefer?
Oh, Brendan Schaefer. I'm like, what's going on? All right, so for Tim's brother, for Sneaky Vile, for Iggy, for Douglas Elvin and the Hamptons, for Plowsy, for Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Jay Jr. saying, guess what? Tim is back on Wednesday. Keep it on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and InsideSTL.com.